But we turn to our good friend Stephen Bug, Great Lakes Credit Union. Steve, as always, good to talk to you, my friend. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? And thanks for having me on today.
I'm doing great. Of course, I haven't, luckily, fallen victim of fraud, something we talk a lot about on the show. And Steve, the numbers are kind of staggering. It is really a world in which a lot of people are being defrauded out of their hard-fought money, isn't there?
That's right, John. And based on some recent data, financial institutions worldwide for payment fraud are losing $33.83 billion a year to fraud. And then peer-to-peer payment fraud is going to reach over $1.2 billion this year alone. So just think of all those fraudulent transactions that are being processed through what we would consider more of a traditional payment rail.
Yeah, what do you mean? What is payment fraud versus peer-to-peer fraud? What does that mean?
Sure. Peer-to-peer fraud would be people utilizing payment apps like Zelle, Venmo, and sending money to folks they may not know, or they think they're purchasing something and somebody asks for money, they send it to them, and then they never receive that item back, or they give their credentials out to a fraudster who then uses their payment app to take money out of their account. And then when we look at regular payment fraud, that's through a credit card, a debit card, check washing that was popular back in the 1980s is back again, where people will take checks out of the mail, wash them, write in somebody's name, and write in a new dollar amount, and then process that check.
Does this happen a lot? You mentioned debit cards. Obviously, that's coming out of a bank or a credit union. I often feel like if it's a credit card, you have a fighting chance. I'm sure you guys do your best for customers, but when that money leaves a checking or a savings account, it's a little bit different than being charged on a credit card, isn't it, Steve?
It is. And so whether it's through a debit card or any direct payment that is real-time processed, that is tough to get that money back. Once it's gone, it's gone. Financial institutions like GLCU, though, do protect our members, so there is some protection that is provided, especially if it's truly fraud. And our member can show us that it's fraud and it's something that they did not initiate. And then you're right, on the credit card side, it's easier to dispute. You have typically a little bit more lead time to try to recapture that activity, so you're not charged that. But there are some great things that you can do. So if your card has that tap to pay function where you don't have to insert your card, use that. It is much more secure than sticking in your card like we all used to have to do.
Okay.
And then I think the important thing, John, for all of us to remember is go online through your mobile app or online banking and look at your activity. Look at your checking account. Look at your credit card activity occasionally. Don't wait until maybe that statement comes out once a month. But look occasionally just to make sure that you recognize what those charges are for. And if you ever have a question, call your financial institution immediately. They would much rather catch that up front than wait 30 or 60 days and then have more and more fraud accumulate.
I have a business debit card from which I've never used, Steve, and I noticed, boom, there was $500 or something taken out on it. I don't even know how someone got that number, having never entered it online or anything, but someone did. I was about 60 days until I noticed it, which is kind of embarrassing. I host this show, and I tell people all the time to look at your, and I do it for my personal stuff. I just hadn't done it for that account, and it took a while for me to get my money back. When you say you offer protection, is it like up to a certain amount, Steve, or is it just you'll work with clients when they call you or when they reach out to GLCU and say, hey, this happened? Because I'm like, you guys behind the scenes have got to try and get that money back. Otherwise, you're out the money.
Correct. And typically what occurs, if it's not a credit card where we can't get that money back through the payment processor, the financial institution like Great Lakes Credit Union is typically eating that fraud. And fraud costs financial institutions billions and billions of dollars a year. On funds that none of us can recoup. So there is protection if you're using your Visa card. There is Visa liability that the processor does protect the consumer from if it's fraudulent. And then any kind of fraud, our fraud team at the credit union will investigate, and it doesn't matter if it's credit, debit, check, Zelle, Venmo, we'll work with that member and we'll try to identify that fraud. And truly, if it is fraud, we'll work with that member. And typically, if we can prove that they did not initiate or give their credentials out, we'll cover that fraud. And most financial institutions will work with either their member if they're a credit union or the consumer if they're a bank customer.
You said something important there. If they didn't give out the number, I think that's important too. Like, you can't willy-nilly be giving out your number everywhere because, as you just said, Great Lakes Credit Union, you're not going to, I don't know, you guys don't have huge investigative arms. You're a nonprofit, for God's sakes, helping out local communities. You eat the loss for the most part, right?
That is exactly right. So we don't have any other source to go back to claim that money. So anything that is fraud is right off the bottom line of the credit union. And you hit a great point, John, because that hurts all of us in our communities because that's less money that we can give back to our own members in lower fees or better deposit rates, lower loan rates, or from our nonprofit providing service back to that community as well. It's less money that we have to do those things if we have to take that as a fraud write-off. And, you know, there are fraudsters that will fraudulently sign up and become a credit union member or a bank customer. And then they try to do what we call friendly fraud. They know how to work the system and then try to defraud the financial institution of that money, but them acting like a customer or a member of their financial institution. And again, because they're using that institution's vehicle, whether it's a credit, debit card, or a check, or however they're accessing it, we're all liable for that as well. So that's why when you do open an account at a financial institution, a lot of questions are asked, because we do have to validate who we are opening accounts for, and part of that is exactly this, is to protect the institution and really to protect all of us as members, because there is a lot of information that's out on the dark web for all of us that people can gather and try to open accounts with.
Yeah, there's a lot of basic tips, I imagine you guys, and we say basic, it's not, all of us have almost been frauded or have been. This isn't something that's a 65 plus age group thing. In fact, there's a lot of research showing that Gen Z is often the most defrauded because they trust the apps that they're using. And that's where a lot of this activity happens. Steve, I got to scoot, but I know you guys work at educating your members for financial stuff all over, up and down, all the services, business loans, everything, building equity. I imagine this is just one more pillar of your education that you offer your customers.
That's right, John, and there's more information out on the GLCU website, so you can just go to greatlakescreditunion.org and you can find out more information.
Steve, you're the best. We'll talk to you in about a month or so, okay?
Sounds good.